All right, guys. Hope you are doing well. We are doing another hard topic. I told Pastor Harry just to take us sit down on this one. The poor guy, he's been avoiding me now ever since. He tells me I give him all the hard topics, but just kidding. He's a great guy, a great man of God. And so today I have Pastor Jim. And so it's always great to have him here and joining us in this podcast. So thank you, Pastor Jim.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Joining us. Now, Jim, we are going to be talking about another, and I bring these topics because these are real life topics that people talk about, it, see on TV, watch on the news, or listen on the radio. It's everywhere. You know, now I even watch a novela and it's in there, you know. It's everywhere, and so it's in kids' cartoons and kids' movies, and you're like, wait, okay. So today we're going to be talking about homosexuality.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Yes, because, you know, we love everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a hard topic because this is something that God has.
What makes it hard?
Well, not, I don't know about, I'll say hard because you love, for me, like, for example, if I see, and I have friends that are from the, you know, from this.
The gay community?
From the gay community.
Okay. Right?
And I respect them.
Mm-hmm.
And I love them.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Do I agree with their behavior? No. And so it's kind of hard for me as a Christian. This is for me where it's kind of gets hard. Because I'm a child of God, and I'm trying to, like, okay, I don't want to be religious, and I don't want to be legalistic on them, and I don't want to condemn them to hell, but also I don't know if I'm doing wrong of saying, you know what, you know, I love you, but the sinful life that you're living, you know, for, I don't know, for me, it just matters more his soul and with God than.
So do you have that same sense of difficulty with people in other areas of sin?
Because
this is an area of sin.
Yeah.
I mean, that's while the Bible calls it an abomination, it's important to recognize what that word means. It doesn't mean that it is a more grievous sin.
Yeah,
okay? It doesn't mean that it's a worse sin.
A sin is a sin, no matter what.
But,
whether it's small sin or big sin.
But this sin goes to the heart of identity.
Yes.
Okay. And since humanity was created in the image of God, homosexuality in its essence is an affront against the person of God.
Right.
Okay. So that's why it grieves God's heart greater than other sins. And that's what abomination means, is that it has an effect upon God unlike other sins.
Like,
Okay. I mean, it's almost like people will like to say with the parable of the prodigal son that in asking the dad for his inheritance before he died, that he was telling the dad that he wished he would die. You know, in a sense, when we talk about homosexuality, we're talking about people saying that who I am, as you have created me in your image, in your likeness, as an image bearer, is wrong.
Right.
Okay, that you, God, are wrong in how you are and how you have made me. And that just grieves God's heart in a way that lying or cheating or stealing doesn't do.
Right.
Yeah. For us as humanity, it's a difficult topic because for centuries, for eons, the idea of a man laying with a man or a woman laying with a woman was revolting, physically revolting. And so we have attached to it a deeper sense of offense. And so it's like, you can talk to somebody about drug abuse, you can talk to somebody about being a, you know, a serial rapist or an alcoholic, and it doesn't offend us to the degree that talking about something that deals with identity seems to do. And then you add to that the simple equation that it's almost impossible to have a civil conversation on the topic, because the minute somebody presents, you know, I'm homosexual, let's talk about it, then, you know, if you don't agree with them, you're homophobic. Right. Or the well-meaning but yet ignorant Christian screams, well, you're going to hell because you're homosexual.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just cut to the chase. People go to hell because they don't accept Jesus.
That's it.
Okay. Whether you're a homosexual or whether you're a liar, you know.
But, Jim, when you watch the news and you see some of these Christians, you know, it's just when you see this big sign that says God hates
mm-hmm.
gays.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
you know what God hates? God hates those signs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
God does not hate people caught up in the LGBTQ lifestyle.
Right, right.
God does not hate people who are in the homosexual lifestyle. Does God hate homosexuality? The act? Yes, right. Because God is opposed to sin. And no matter how we want to slice it, no matter how we want to justify it, no matter how hard we try to, you know, parse the words and all of that, homosexuality, even nature declares that homosexuality is incorrect. You know, you only in algebra can you get two negatives that make a positive, okay? You don't plug an outlet in with an outlet. You plug an outlet in with a plug.
Right.
Okay, you have male and female parts, and while some people would argue that biology does not dictate identity, the Bible's pretty clear when it says when he made them male and female, there's a distinction.
Yeah, I guess for me, that's where it kind of gets the identity part, that like God created us in his own image,
you know? Mm-hmm.
And
with the capacity to bear his image. Now, keep in mind when we talk about that, we're not talking about the physical image, because God does not have a physical image beyond what he chooses to reveal.
Yeah.
So the Bible will use terms like the hand of God, the heart of God, things like that. And it's not literally talking about God having a body like me.
Exactly. Okay?
Because God is not a creature like me.
Yeah, but I don't mean so much in the sense of the physical aspect, but more of the mm-hmm. identity, you know, like the identity, mm-hmm. like, okay, I guess for me, that's where I'm talking. For me, it's a little bit more, that is for me of a challenge where, like, hey, if you knew who you were, and I'm not saying the man or the woman, like, where you were meant to, but like, who God created you for, mm-hmm. for, you know, and for me, that's where, as a Christian, that is my challenge.
Right.
You know, and
we have to understand that man was created for the purpose of expressing the character, the identity of God.
Of God, yeah.
All right? Exactly. Now, think of going to a buffet, and there are more items on the menu than you have room on your plate for. So you get two plates, okay? And the two plates represent the buffet. Male and female represent aspects of God, because one gender cannot fully express, and I would even go so far as to say that two genders can't fully express mm-hmm. the personality of God. Mm-hmm. But in the man, distinct as he is, and in the woman, distinct as she is, that they express aspects of God that is incapable for one gender to be able to reveal.
Right. So as Christians, Jim, you know, doesn't matter if you're a one-year-old Christian, 30-year-old Christian, you were born as a Christian for, you know, I don't know, race.
Yeah,
as a Christian.
You can't be born.
You can't be born a Christian, but you know what I mean. That you grew
been
up
around
in the church,
it a long time. Right? Yeah.
What should our stance be as Christians when it comes to homosexuality? So, and this is something that
on a second. Toward homosexuality or toward homosexuals?
Let's do homosexuals first.
Okay. So what's supposed to be our reaction to anybody?
Love
them. Yep. God loved the whole world. Yep. Okay. We have no right to define, shift, change. There is nobody that we have the right to hate.
Yep.
It's just that simple. You know, we may find reasons. We may think in our terms that person is unlovable. But if we're children of God, and this is the important thing to remember, if we're children of God looking to bear his image, to reflect his character, to be the extension of his presence in this world, then we live by his values, not by ours.
Right.
And his values are that we love everybody. What if somebody abuses you? you bless them. Somebody curses you, you benefit them. Okay? We love people. That is the defining characteristic that will identify us to the world as followers of Jesus, is love. So it doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter if they do it to us or they do it to somebody else. Okay? Right. Our responsibility is to love people.
Amen. Now, when it comes to homosexuality, mm-hmm. our stance, what do you think about that?
Our stance is, what does God say? And what is, well, what is the normative thing that God expects? How is it that God has made us? Okay, I recently bought a new car, and with that new car came an operator's manual. And that operator's manual tells me how to take care of this car and do things. And I can look at that operator's manual, and I can throw it out and say, yeah, it's their opinion. I'm going to do my own way. I know they say this type of oil, but I'm going to put this type of oil. I know they say this type of gas, but I'm going to put diesel in it. I know they say this, I know they say that, and I do whatever I want. And then my car breaks down, and I have a problem, and I go back to them and say, hey, look, your car stinks. And they see what I've done. No, that's on me.
Right.
Because I've disregarded the manufacturer's instructions.
Yeah.
Humanity... And this goes to the core of this debate. Humanity is a created being, okay, designed by God, okay, created by God to function in a given way.
Right.
And his word addresses that on how we should live as people. How should we think? How we should interact? How we should treat ourselves? How we should treat others? And it is our determination that, like in the garden, we know better than God. That no. It can be this way and it can be that way. And all it takes is a glance at the newspaper to realize what a mess we've made of our lives doing that.
Right.
So homosexuality is deviant, okay? Because it deviates from the norm.
Right.
There is a norm, okay? In the community, when this is talked about, it is laissez-faire. Well, there's your way, there's my way, there's his way, there's her way. There is a norm, and God has set that norm. And if we choose to deviate from that, then it doesn't work, and we pay the consequences.
Right, right.
So as believers, as followers of Jesus, it is our responsibility to follow the ordinances as laid out by God. Okay? Now, when you say that, immediately you're going to start saying, well, Baptists say this, and Methodists say that, and Catholics say this, and Presbyterians say that, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, we make a mess of what God's word says, but God's word's pretty clear, okay? You look at Romans chapter 1. You look, even in Leviticus, you know, even though we're not under the law anymore, but the law reflects God's heart. It is clear. There is no disputing. It takes people parsing words and taking stuff out of context to get away from the clear and simple fact that it is wrong when a man's passions burn for another man, a woman's passions burn for another woman. It is just not the way that God has designed and ordered his creation.
Wow. Yeah, true. Now, I'm going to share this quick article that I had shared with you earlier.
Tell them where the article's from.
This is the article from, it's called The Conversation, and it says, what does the Bible say about homosexuality? For starters, Jesus wasn't a homophobe.
Yeah, I love that. They throw out the word homophobic, you know, which is like every other word. It's a made-up word, but it's a pejorative term, okay? Right. I am now labeling you, and by labeling you, I'm discounting anything that you have to say. You're speaking from the term of being afraid of homosexuals. I'm not afraid of homosexuals, okay?
And do you think that, and I don't want to go too off the topic, but do you think that term homophobic is not used correctly?
Oh.
Homo, doesn't that mean?
It means you're afraid of the same.
Yeah.
Okay? Homo means same. Okay? You're afraid of the same. And they use it to mean that homosexual you're afraid of. Okay, and maybe there are some people that are afraid of homosexuals. I don't know, but I know that I'm not.
No, me neither.
And to label me because I take a position consistent with the Creator, to label me as being afraid, is pejorative.
Right. Right.
You don't know me. You don't know where I come from. You don't know my experiences. Okay. So you're trying to cast me in a certain light when you use that term, which
homophobic.
Is meant to discount anything that I have to say.
Yeah,
I mean, this is no better than the Third Reich calling people Untermenschen, you know, subhuman. They're not worthy of consideration. And so to call somebody homophobic is to give quasi-scientific expression to a pejorative term. Mm.
Yeah, I agree. So this is what the article says, and this is from what Pope Francis said,
okay.
Who people have said is a more of a progressive mm-hmm. pope. And tell me you agree or disagree. This law around the world criminalizing LGBTI, this says I, people yeah. is not right. Persons with homosexual tendencies are children of God. God loves them. God accompanies them. Condemning a person like this is a sin. Criminalizing people with homosexual tendencies is an injustice. This is what Pope Francis said.
I would say that criminalizing people who have homosexual tendencies is an injustice. It is wrong to criminalize that. Do you criminalize people who overdrink? Do you criminalize people who get high? Do you criminalize people for deviant behavior? No, we criminalize when their actions lead to injury.
Right, yes.
Okay? So if you've got a guy or a girl who's homosexual and in desiring to fulfill that, they attack somebody, that needs to be criminalized. But just the fact that they have attraction, same-sex attraction, to criminalize that because it is deviant from the societal norm is ludicrous. That would be the same as criminalizing, you know, people who prefer, well, I might agree with this one, people who prefer the Cowboys. Yeah, maybe we ought to criminalize that one. You know, that would be the same as criminalizing things that we don't agree with. And now when we talk about criminalizing, we're talking about man's efforts. God does not criminalize. I know the law says that there is punishment with it. I understand that. But under the law, we have to understand that God was teaching us the consequences to sin, okay? Mm-hmm. The law was meant to bring us to a realization of what sin is, the consequences of sin, in order that he would eventually introduce Jesus as the redemption for sin. So to go, well, but the Bible says, yeah, but take a look at the Bible as a whole before you rush off to, you know, Leviticus and start screaming about how it says that we ought to kill homosexuals, okay? To criminalize it is the wrong medicine for the issue, okay? Mm-hmm. But humanity can't change the heart, so I think that becomes our action.
Right, right.
You know, is to punish those so as to drive them out of sight.
Right.
And we don't have to deal with it anymore.
And what about where he says condemning to a person like this is a sin?
Well, you condemn anybody. Who are we to judge? I mean, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, now, understand again, let me explain what Jesus is talking about when he says that. God has already identified what is sin. And he lays it out there and asks us to say, well, this is sin, measure this against it, and if it lines up, it's sin. So we're not called to not judge sin. We're called to not judge people, okay? I have no place to look at somebody who is in the homosexual lifestyle and tell them that they are a waste of humanity,
right?
Okay? I have no place to tell them they are worthless because of that, because I don't know their heart.
Nope.
And to boot, I am no better.
Yeah.
Okay? All of us stand condemned before God.
We will all stand.
Everybody. We stand today. Everybody stands condemned before God, except for those who have received Christ and his atoning sacrifice. Yeah. If it weren't for Jesus, I'd still stand condemned. Okay? It's not a matter of getting my life together and all of a sudden I'm no longer condemned. It's that the blood of Jesus washes away my transgressions,
yep.
Okay? Aside from that, we all stand condemned before God.
Yeah.
Before God,
yeah.
Okay? It is not my job to condemn another person.
Now, here's my last question, Jim. What do you think is some of the challenges that the church faces today when it comes to this, and what can we do better?
One of the challenges that we face, and this transcends just homosexuality, this goes to any transgression, any violation of God's standard, is one to recognize what is preference over what is God's word. Okay? I will call sin, tend to call sin things that aren't an issue with me, while I'll condone issues that I struggle with. Okay? Right. So we need to recognize that all of us fall short.
We all fall short.
Exactly. Okay? And maybe I don't fall short in the way that you do, but I fall short in my own ways. Maybe mine aren't as visible as yours, but I still fall short. So I need to remember that I am not the judge. I need to remember that all people sin, okay? Mm-hmm. And if I can find the grace to not hold somebody's pornography against them, if I can find grace to not hold somebody's anger against them, if I can find grace not to hold somebody's jealousy against them, then I can find grace to not hold somebody's homosexuality against them. Mm. Okay? Another thing to keep in mind is that in dealing with any sin, okay, in dealing with any sin, by not confronting and condemning does not mean that we're condoning. Mm. Okay? I think sometimes we run into sin and we feel like if I don't kind of land in the middle of them, my Bible in hand, and, you know, kind of beat them with it, that somehow I'm telling them it's okay.
Right.
Okay? I can let people know that homosexuality is a sin at the same time letting them know that I love them. The reason I say that is because that's what I do. Okay? I know people who are homosexual. I have relationships with people who have same-sex attraction. Okay? Do I like that they have same-sex attraction? No, I don't. Does my flesh want to rise up at times? Absolutely. But what would Jesus do? Here we go. Yeah. You know? And so I find the grace in him to love them, just like people find the grace to love me, even though maybe my sin isn't that sin.
Right.
So to not confront it in an aggressive way is not condoning it, okay? But I've got to say, okay, you got to say something, but can you speak the truth in love like 1 Corinthians tells us? Yeah. You know, can you call out sin and yet the sinner knows that you love and value them? Mm. It can be done. Jesus did it.
It'll be powerful.
And it is powerful because the expectation on the other side of the table is that you're a homophobe.
Yeah. You hate them.
Yeah. And so they're ready for the fight.
Yeah.
And if we can come to them and say, hey, I don't hate you.
Yeah.
You know, do I like what you're doing? Do I like the effects? And this is something a lot of Christians don't think about. Do you like the effects that homosexuality has on you? Okay, because when you look at the statistics that you don't generally hear from that side of the argument, when you look at the statistics, the homosexual lifestyle is destructive. That's why God says it's wrong, is because it ultimately hurts. It ultimately injures the individual.
Right.
Okay, because when you get to the core of homosexuality, when you get to the core of it, it is the ultimate elevation of self-love. Homosexual. I love the same. It even is so evident that you look at some homosexual couples and they look alike. This homosexuality is the epitome of self-love, of putting myself first. I want to love somebody like me.
Mm.
Okay? That's a destructive course to be on.
Yeah.
And so when I stand back and I see somebody engaged in homosexuality, my reaction is, what are you doing to yourself?
Yeah.
I see the drug addict. You know, it's like, how's this working out for you? You know, there's an old line I heard when I was a kid in junior high. You know, you start out using drugs and you end up drugs using you. We see that.
Yeah.
And yet, some people find delight in that suffering. And I would say those people aren't following Jesus, because Jesus never delighted in the suffering of anybody. No. So I don't delight in the suffering of anybody either. Okay? I have compassion for them. I grieve for them. I'm sorry for them. Okay? Mm. And if we thought of the person more than we did the transgression, then maybe we'd be a little more tolerant without feeling like
we're
somehow violating Jesus and condoning this transgression. Right. Because when Jesus was confronted with their societal equivalent, you know, a woman committing adultery, he had every right in the world to condemn her under the law, but he didn't.
Yeah.
He had compassion on her.
Yeah.
Okay. But also told her, okay, they're not here to condemn you. Don't go do it again.
Yeah.
Okay. Go and sin no more. Stop doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. We need to be compassionate and loving toward people while standing for what is true. And when I say what is true, I don't mean what is true that homosexuality is a sin, as much as I say that homosexuality is a sin because it damages the image and design and intent of God.
Amen. Yeah.
That's what makes it wrong.
Yep.
Okay? So I stand with that, but I love the individual. Okay? I serve the individual.
Yep.
I don't crawl into the individual's interpretation of life and say, oh, yeah, this is all okay, which is what this article that talks about the Pope. This is what you see from major religious denominations,
mm-hmm.
is, well, society's going that way, so let's go along to get along.
Yeah.
No, we can't do that. I mean, if I went to the doctor and I told the doctor, hey, you know, I got this growth, and he goes, oh, it's cancer, we can cut it out. No, doc, that's going to hurt too much. Well, all right, we'll just kind of leave it there, and, you know, we'll give you some topical cream so it doesn't hurt so much.
Right.
I'm going to go along to get along with you. We don't like that. So why is children of God, that's a phrase I need to define here in a moment, why is children of God do we figure that going along just to not offend people is a good thing? All right? Because as a child of God, not everybody is a child of God. Okay, I take exception in that statement. A homosexual is not a child of God any more than somebody who is controlled by alcohol, controlled by drugs, controlled by any other sin. The Bible is clear that those who are children of God are those who have yielded their lives to him. We become his children by adoption, not by birth.
Amen.
We are the created beings of God, but we only become his children when we yield our lives to him. And one who yields his life to Jesus, and this is the point of Romans, one who yields his life to Jesus doesn't live after his own desires. He lives after the desires of Jesus.
Amen. Wow. Well, thank you, Jim, for so much for a lot of this, helping us to dissect this topic. And as you heard, those that are listening to us, you know, love them, you know.
Show
them Jesus through you.
Mm-hmm.
And what would Jesus do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just pray for them. Because if God can do something for us and pulled us from our sinful life, and Jim said, we all fall short from God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he could do that with me and did it with Jim and can do it with you, he could do it for them as well. That God is the God of the impossible. So,
absolutely.
So, Jim, would you just finish us off with that, with a prayer of that?
Sure.
Thanks.
Father, I know that this particular topic is a hot-button one. But it's really no different than the course humanity's been on for eons, is that we think we know better than you. And I just pray that whoever's listening to this, that you would touch their heart, that you would introduce them to the idea of surrendering their will to your will. To know that you are not an angry and vengeful God who wants to destroy them, but you are a God of love who wants to be reconciled to them. And that you would speak to their heart in such a manner that they would open their ears and hear what you have to say. That you promise abundant life. That's why you sent your son. Lord, if somebody listening is a believer and struggles with feelings of condemnation and hatred, I pray you'd speak to them too. You'd help them to be able to come to a point of loving an individual who is caught in this while still standing against the dangers of homosexuality. And that in the end, in the life of the individual caught in this type of life, in the life of the individual who's trying to follow you, that you would be glorified. And we do all of this in the name of your son, Jesus.